All right, guys. Let's turn to 1 John, actually. 5, 14 and 15. I've got a list of verses. You guys know I usually don't like to do this. But today I'm going to do it. And it's okay if you follow along or whatever. You're probably going to know every single verse I bring up this morning. But so this is going to be, I know I've been in Romans, I know Jordan's teaching in Colossians, we've kind of been taking turns, and that's been fun. This is just going to be an off, out of the blue kind of teaching. And the reason is, I've had a real, just personally, I've had a real, I guess, refreshing, reviving kind of time in my prayer life. And it's been really good. The Lord's really been giving me some revelation about prayer. And along with that, last week, I was praying one morning, and I've been getting up early and praying, and the Lord just really spoke to me and said, just really felt like he told me your prayers were being hindered. And that was, and just so you know what that looked like, I was just praying, asking the Lord for something, and just heard that, you know, just kind of caught that verse in my mind, just that so that your prayers would not be hindered. It's one of the verses we're going to talk about. And it just felt really, you know, life-giving to me. It's like, yeah, you know, that's right. And so I kind of went from there and got my Bible and set out to study, okay, what's the Lord trying to tell me exactly? What's going on here? And a lot of these were really good. This isn't a complete list. You know, there's probably a lot of things. I got five basic things here that really spoke to me and have really helped take my prayer life further. So I took these and went to Katie after that. And I said, Katie, look, I feel like my prayers and our prayers are being hindered. And I think, you know, here's why. You know, I got a list of things I found in the Bible that I feel convicted of. It's been really good. So here's one of these list kind of sermons that I usually don't like, but I'll give it to you. So 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this isn't one of the things, but it says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whenever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. And I kind of just wanted to bring this one out first because this is the standard, I think, that we should have in prayer. I mean, this is how we should view our prayers every time. And one of the reasons I know my prayers are being hindered is because this isn't the mindset I have about my prayer. I'll just read it one more time. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of him, okay? So I'm falling far short of that. One of the things that hangs me up, and I think that hangs up a lot of you guys, is that little thing that he throws in there, if you ask according to his will. I always hear people ask that, and I always ask that. How do I know I'm really praying his will, you know? So that's my whole goal in this. I got a list of things. These aren't going to guarantee that you're praying according to his will. With some things to look out for, you know, so you know that you're not. So first one is just right close to here, James 1. James 1, 5 and 7. You guys will all know this one. But the first thing on my list is doubt, obvious. It is obvious. But this is just kind of a reminder of how big a deal doubt really is and how correctable doubt is, you know, because doubt is just about your faith, and your faith is something that you're choosing. It's not that you need more faith necessarily, you know, and less doubt. It's that you need to be putting your faith more directly into Christ and not into other things that cause you to doubt. So it's really what doubt is. I think every single bit of doubt in your life comes from when you're looking away from Jesus. That's really what doubt is. You know, any other thing is going to feed you insecurity and doubt and I'm not sure and what if this happens. Jesus never lets you down, you know? And so think about it that way. Doubt is really something that is pretty correctable. But James 1, 5 and 7 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now six, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, okay? No doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose or not assume that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So that's how dangerous doubt is, okay? If you're constantly doubting, you shouldn't expect that you'd receive anything from the Lord. So, and this will be a short sermon, I hope, but yeah, step one is just this little, I won't say easy, but it is fixable adjustment of, I need to examine my prayers, and I need to examine what manner am I praying in. And what I noticed in my own life, as I did, I said, am I doubting? Because I don't think I'm doubting, you know. I'm asking God, you know, I think I'm putting my faith in him. But when I sat down and started thinking through it, and I started thinking, how's God going to answer this prayer? And I noticed that sure enough, in my heart and in my mind, I'm not expecting an answer to this. I'm expecting a, you know, because I have these thoughts in the back of my mind. I'm expecting it, you know, Levi, you've failed this week. I'm almost like setting myself up for the rejection of my prayer, you know. I just noticed, you know, I think I'm praying in faith in the moment. But when I think, how's God going to answer this prayer? I have no expectation at all. And so that was a really big tell for me. Man, I have deep doubts. And those doubts are because I'm looking at myself and not at the Lord. And so that was the biggest one for me is, surprisingly, I have a ton of doubt in my life. Number two, James 4. Turn your page. Another common one. Or the selfish motives. You ask and you do not receive. Sorry, James 4:3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? This is a hard one to weed through because you got two extremes. You have the one extreme where you just think that, I talk to so many people who think that if they ask God for anything personal, they're in error because they don't want to pray selfishly, right? Do you ever feel like that? You feel like you can't, it's all right to pray for Stephen, you know, but if I start praying about myself, that's just selfish, God's not going to hear me. And man, that is such a bummer because the number one thing, you know, you need to be praying is your walk, your life, your family, the things that God's put in front of you. And so you got that extreme there, you got to weed through. That's not selfishness. And you also have this the complete other side where you can start asking God for such worldly, you know, unnecessary, unglorifying to God things. And so I'm just asking you to examine where your balance is at or your motives. It's not what you're asking for. You can ask for some really worldly things, you know, and have it be for God's glory and have it produce in you a thankfulness towards Jesus and have it produce glory to God. And so, you know, Stephen can pray about his business and, you know, which seems like it might be a worldly thing. He could pray for, you know, new vacuums and new, you know, whatever you use. I don't know. New equipment. That's one thing I've learned from Jonathan working with them. I mean, they pray, you know, they pray for the tiniest little things and constantly see the Lord give them, you know, in his time. But if you didn't have that balance where you can pray for things and know, you know, for yourself and for something you have. Anyway, you guys see what I'm saying. But selfish motives, and my one and only test is just 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says, whether you eat or, you know, I'm going to butcher that quote, but whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So that's my one test. I can ask God for a really worldly thing. I can ask God for, let's say I ask God for a new car or a used car, or whatever, okay? But is my motives, I mean, in honest, I got to be, that's one of the biggest things. I got to learn to be honest with myself. You guys got to learn to be honest with yourself. And But God, is this for your glory? Does it somehow glorify you? If not, I don't need it, you know. Give me, here's the vehicle I want. You give me the one that glorifies you. So that's your one test. Does this glorify you? So, three, go to the Old Testament, Psalms 66. This one is, I titled it, Cherishing Sin / Disobedience. I got two verses, and these are the two that really surprised me. They were in here. These weren't so clear to me before. Psalm 66, verse 18. Okay, he says, if I had cherished iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but truly God has listened. He attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his love from me. And so, that really kind of surprised me. If I cherish, pretty much what it says in those three verses, if I cherish sin in my heart, then God will reject my prayer. I mean, and that's... That really surprised me, and it really, really gave me that urgency to, what do I have in my heart that I'm wanting? And here's the thing. The whole reason, I think the whole reason that God set this prayer deal up is he wants to be the giver. He loves to be the giver, you know, of every perfect gift. He loves to have that role. He loves us to be in that place of asking and needing. It gives him so much glory, this whole prayer relationship thing. It's just the most glorifying thing to him. All we do is ask. He's all powerful and gives in his wisdom and just the right time and just the right way. I mean, it's just so glorifying to him. But if I'm cherishing sin in my heart, I don't think it's just like God's like just punishing, you know. It's like, fine, you know, I don't think he's just saying, since you have sin in your heart, I'm not going to give it to you. I think what he's thinking, this is just me, is, man, if they're already giving glory, if they're cherishing sin, they're giving glory to something else, you know. If they're already giving glory to this idol or this sin or whatever it is, how much glory is God really going to get if he gives you the answer to your prayer, but the whole time you're glorifying something else in your heart? I really think, you know, man, you're probably going to keep giving glory to the thing you're already giving glory to. And if God gives you more, you're going to keep passing, and however that gets twisted around, you're going to keep passing glory off to another. And I just, that's what he won't stand for. He's so jealous. All throughout the Bible, he's jealous. He wants the glory. And I just don't think it's possible if you're truly cherishing. It's not that, he didn't say if you've sinned. He says if you're cherishing sin in your heart, if you're in love with your sin, you know, he's not going to feed that and give you more, you know, so that you can keep loving it. And in fact, he's probably going to take away, you know, so that you'll repent. But so there's that. Cherishing sin, what are you in love with in your heart, is a really big check to see if your prayers are being hindered. And then with that, Proverbs 28, verse 9. says, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Okay? And I feel like, I can't remember if it's Jonathan or Sam, someone's really covered this well the last few weeks, but, or maybe it was Jordan, but anyway, it's like if God is giving you, he's like already telling you something, he's already giving you something to do, and you're still sitting here, you haven't taken care of what he's already put on your heart, what he's already told you to do, you're not taking care of what's in front of you, but you're still sitting over here asking for more. You're not being good with what you have now, you know. And so why would God answer your prayer for more if you haven't fully walked through and gave glory to him and been responsible with, you know, with what he's already given you. And so it's the same thing here. I mean, if you're not, we already have so much. So if we're turning our ear from hearing the law, if we're turning away from what the word's already said, you know, if we're flat out rejecting, and turning ear doesn't mean you don't know. It means I've heard it, but I want to turn away from it because that's not what I want to hear right now. You know, I'm rejecting what this says. So turning my ear away from the law, man, that's a really big deal. It causes your prayer to be not just rejected, but an abomination, that you would dare ask God, you know, for more, because in the middle of rejecting what he's telling you now. So, man, that's another good check for me is, man, what am I doing, you know, with what he's already told me to do? Am I being obedient and good with what I've already prayed for and he's given me? Am I being good with what I already he's already put in my heart to follow right now? Okay, number four, Mark 11:25. Unforgiving hearts. Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespass. And so it's just a flat command, guys. It's just whenever, every single time that you go to pray, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Jesus' commandment, you know. And this might be the hardest one, and it's, man, it hangs up your prayers. And I really had a season where I had to walk through this. This was like, I mean, probably 2 years of probably someone really, really wronged me at a time in my life. And this one really stood out to me because I still am carrying a little bit of unforgiveness. But anyway, you guys all have this story, something similar to this. Someone really wronged me at a time, and I was so just hurt and upset with them. And then it turns to anger and bitterness. And it goes through that whole thing. But I noticed that. I mean, almost every time I was going to pray, I noticed that frustration toward them. Like the Lord was reminding me, you have this in your heart. And it goes back to what we said in this last step. If you're not being obedient, you know, I've given you this opportunity to forgive, you know. And if you choose to turn your ear away from that and keep asking me for their things, you're not fully walking through the last thing I asked you to walk through. You know, you're hanging on. You're being completely rebellious if you hang on to what someone else did to you. That's what you're being. You're the one being rebellious now. It wasn't what they did that was rebellion. It's you being rebellious. And so, anyway, I had to every single time I prayed just about say, even though I didn't want to, and my emotions didn't want to, you know, and I wanted to almost pray against them, I had to go before God and say, here's what they did, you know, and I give it to you over and over and over and again. And man, it was so worth it. Just to not have years of my prayers hung up and me being mad at somebody. That's, if you look at it from that perspective, how silly is that? That I'd be willing to sacrifice my prayers, you know, the most powerful thing I probably have, just to kind of stick it to someone in my mind. I mean, so yeah, if you test your heart and see who continually frustrates you and who's just kind of, what bitterness is kind of lingering, and man, just don't let it hang up your prayers. Last one I have, you know, guys, in confession, this was the biggest one for me. This is why I had to confess to Katie, 1 Peter 3:7, and this was actually the verse the Lord put on my heart, and I didn't know, when I said, you know, the Lord spoke to me that your prayers will not be hindered, this was the verse. I didn't know what the beginning of it said for some reason. I had to find it, and I was like, oh man, this is what it says. But husbands, I got it, husbands unloving to wives, and I also just kind of wrote / discord in your family. But 1 Peter 3, so let's just start in, yeah, let's start in 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs of with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And, you know, that speaks directly to husbands. It goes both ways. Just walking in grace, you know, in your partners in this life. I mean, that's the most, if prayer is the most powerful thing you have, I mean, prayer with your partner, that's the most powerful thing you have. Someone that God put in your life to walk with every day, you know, your heirs of this life together, the grace of this life, being in unity, man, that's so powerful. And for one side to kind of cut off that unity and to set, you know, put themselves in a higher place and the other in a lower place, and how you treat the other person, how you love the person that you should be closest to, that'll hang up your prayers. And so here's five things, that's not a complete list, but it was five big ones for me that I wanted to pass on to you. Here's why. Asking you guys to really examine your hearts. I know that we all know how big a deal prayer is. We've heard it a million times. But really walk through each one. And you guys have all heard, here's where I noticed after I walked through this how it benefited me. I think you guys will probably agree with this. I've in my life, I've almost never received an instant answer to prayer. You know, there's something really, you know, one of the key of keys to prayer is enduring, persistent prayer. You find that in parables, and you find that, you know, there's really something to praying and continue to pray. And here's what I notice. I pray for something, and I'll pray a few times, you know, and I'll keep praying, you know. But if it's not being answered, I immediately am like, okay, I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Or I want to give up, or, you know. And I just don't always know where to draw that, where how to balance that, where I'm supposed to be persistent, I'm supposed to keep praying, you know. Even if I don't see the answer, I'm supposed to keep asking. And at the same time, am I just not praying God's will, you know? Or so that's why I got this list. That's why I felt like I wanted to pass it on to you guys, because I want persistent prayer to be a theme in every one of your guys' lives and hearts. That's a theme of a disciple, continually relying on God, persistently, over and over and over. And I don't think you can do that, you know, without, I think all these things, these are all kind of negative things that we all do, but it helps us to correct and get our eyes back on Jesus, every single one. So what I'm going to do is what I've been doing is I pray, and I've been praying, and if I feel that, man, I'm not receiving an answer, why, I'm confused, I'm going to go back. Here's the five things that I know God's told me to be responsible with: my doubt, my motives, my disobedience, my forgiveness, and my family. You know, here's five things that I know I can get off of God's will on and really can hinder my prayers. I'm gonna do the best I can with the wisdom and revelation that I have about these, and then I'm gonna go back and keep praying. You know, that's all you can do. You know, I'm not saying God's gonna answer your prayer if you do these five steps, but I'm gonna say you're gonna have a lot more confidence. That first verse I said, you know, here's the confidence we have that if we ask God, and I'll just butcher that if I try it, but I want you to have that confidence, and this will help you, you know, because you can sit here and say, I'm doing as good as I can with the things I know I should be doing. Now I'm going to go back and pray and keep asking. So, amen. Father, in Jesus' name, ask that you would give us, through obedience, and for two, through faith, Lord, just the confidence to approach you, to go before you boldly, to ask of you, to expect from you. Maybe you take a new step in expecting from you, and just enliven and awaken our prayer lives, Father. Just awaken how much power that we have in that and relying on you. We thank you that you're the giver, and we give you glory for answering all the prayers of our past and now and future prayers, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.